praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. The Lord is a great God. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. Harden not your hearts. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed away from Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Father, through the written word and the spoken word, open our eyes to the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please do be seated. When was the last time you went to bed thankful and amazed at what the day had given you? Something that you hadn't planned for happened. Perhaps it was a conversation or a meeting with somebody else, something rare or beautiful. Or perhaps something was revealed that changed you, something that made you feel really alive. Life suddenly felt completely different at the end of the day compared to how it felt when you got out of bed that morning. When has life taken you completely by surprise or given you something that you hadn't expected and you were glad of it? When have you been absolutely sure, like Hagar, that you were standing in the presence of God? El Roy, the one who sees. Some people might describe it as being their closest moment to Jesus. Others might say that they saw the face of Jesus in another person. Some might say that they saw the Holy Spirit at work in a particular situation. Some people might talk about a prayer that's been answered. The beauty of nature. Or the first time that they held their child or their grandchild. Those situations, those times, those experiences are God moments. They're also God's promise of life and more life. Life is always coming to us in unknown, unexpected, and unplanned for ways. And when life does come along, sometimes it can hit us like a slap in the face. We can't explain how or why something happened, but we know it did, and we know it was for real. And in those moments when we're slapped, life is open. Life is available. The promise of coming life is there. But haven't there also been times in our lives when we've struggled to be open to the future, its possibilities, its opportunities, and its challenges? When we've failed to be aware of what life is bringing us? That openness to life is the call of Jesus in each of our lives. And it's what today's gospel reading is all about. And in fact, it's at the core of the gospels. Jesus says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." It's why he set his face to go towards Jerusalem, even though he knew what would happen. It's why that in the Bible there are so many stories of Jesus healing people who were blind or deaf. Jesus was opening eyes and ears to the promise of life. He was pointing towards the future, towards abundant life. It's why Jesus tells us in the Gospels to stay awake, to be watchful, because we don't know what's coming. And it's also why the city of Jerusalem in today's gospel has failed to stay awake or be open to possibility. Jerusalem has killed the prophets. Jerusalem has stoned the ones who were calling it into a future. Jerusalem did away with those who were sent to bring it life and more life. Jerusalem here is a metaphor. It's another way of seeing ways in which we are blind and deaf to the promise of Jesus. Jerusalem for us can represent the ways in which we don't keep options for our future open. Jesus says, "How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you weren't willing," he says of Jerusalem. You weren't willing. Jerusalem is closed to the future. The door of the house is locked. The windows are boarded up. Everyone has gone. "See, your house is left to you," Jesus says. Jerusalem has refused to respond to the promise and give existence to life, and the Spirit is gone. And we can be Jerusalem too often. Too often we're blind and deaf to the promise. We're closed to the future and its possibilities. We've shut the door, we've boarded up the windows. That happens when we hold grudges and resentments, when we withhold forgiveness or refuse to accept forgiveness from another person. It happens when we root ourselves in some long-treasured security that the past was always better than the present. When we refuse or deliberately choose not to open our eyes to what is going on right now around us. It's what's going on when we refuse to be self-reflective, to question ourselves, when we deliberately close ourselves to considering something new and trying to grab it. It's those times when we just sit back and say, "Well, this is as good as it's ever going to get. That's all there is." And we close the door. Routines, habits, the same old patterns govern our lives. We refuse to imagine. We refuse to dream the impossible. We don't wonder, what if? The word perhaps isn't even on our lips. The list could go on and on. Is that really how we want to be? Closed to the future, refusing to imagine what God can do for us. If that happens, we become stagnant. We just settle for mere life. We just settle for the existence in the here and now, rather than considering more life. We're no longer growing or maturing. Despair will replace hope. Nightmares will replace dreams. We refuse to see or hear the promise of new life. We've declared an ending, closed the door, boarded up the window, and the house is just left to us. It's an empty building, devoid of life. Jesus isn't accusing Jerusalem of doing something wrong. Instead, Jesus is lamenting. He's feeling sorry for Jerusalem. His heart is breaking because the doors are closed. He's protesting the end, the death, the short-sightedness of Jerusalem. But yet, he continues on his journey towards that city because Jesus doesn't give up. Doors can be opened, windows can be unshuttered, the light can be let in, and life can flow. Jesus is always coming to the Jerusalem of our lives, our church. Jesus is always calling us to life, to more life, to new life, to life in abundance. The promise isn't going to go away. The promise is there, even if we choose not to respond. But not to respond would be to exclude Jesus from Jerusalem. So life is always coming towards us in thousands and thousands of different ways. Every moment of every day, the promise is there. Jesus is never, ever going to give up on us. If we reopen the door, a life waiting will be there, when we too are ready to say, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." Those aren't words that are just to be spoken. "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord" are words that are there to describe the one whose ears, whose eyes, whose heart is open to what's coming. "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord" can be words that we can take and own for ourselves as we look forward to a future, to a promise, to an opportunity, a future, a life that God freely offers to each one of us in Jesus. What if everything that is coming to us is coming to us in the name of the Lord? Then we would say, "Blessed is the promise that comes to us in the name of the Lord." Blessed is the future. Blessed is that opportunity. Blessed are we if we take it. Blessed is the life that comes to us in Jesus. So in what ways are our ears, our eyes, our hearts closed today? What needs to happen in our lives in order for us to change? What do we need to let go of in order for things to be opening and for life to flow? What doors do we have to unlock? What windows do we have to unshutter in order for a promise to be fulfilled? An unknown promise of what might be coming to be grasped hold of and to be blessed. It's an unforeseeable future. It's an uncertain life because we don't know what is going to happen. But the promise of what is unknown can also be an invitation. It won't change what is coming, but it will change us. That's asking a lot for us all to be people who will change. That's a lot to ask, to take a risk in order for God's blessing to flow. That's not the way we should live, and that's the point. God offers us an opportunity for a new life, a more life. God offers us the opportunity for abundant life, life that is in Jesus. That's an unknown. That's a risk. Sometimes I like risks. That's a risk I want to take that future step into Jesus. That's a risk I hope you might be prepared to take as well. So today, are you prepared to join me in taking a risk? If you do, I invite you now to stand if you're able, or raise a hand if you can't, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for your holy and life-giving Spirit to flow upon us, our church, our congregation, our parish, and our community. May streams of living water flow where things seem barren or abandoned. May your Spirit flow in this place, Lord, igniting us, reviving us. May our doors be open, our windows unshuttered, our hearts set free to grasp new possibilities, to be people who are prepared to be changed, to look towards the future with optimism. May we be a people who are prepared to take risks, to grasp that life that you would give us, Lord, to grasp that life and hold on to it. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Confident in our faith, confident in our future, we say together the words of the Christ.